For September 2nd, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to split this chapter into two readings, so we're just going to consider the first half today. Ephesians 4 verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who has also ascended, far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So Paul uses this same description of himself again, a prisoner for the Lord. He goes into this and says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. You know, we've been called by the gospel to be in Jesus Christ. We've been called so that we might overcome sin through the blood of Christ and be in this righteous relationship in fellowship with God the Father. And we must walk in a manner that is worthy of that type of a life. Whenever Paul was explaining grace in Romans chapter 5 and into chapter 6 as well, he starts off chapter 6 asking the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, God forbid. Now, the fact that we've come into that relationship also means that we've died to that old life of sin and we walk in a new life. Well, that new life is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be a walk that is in a manner worthy of the calling to which they've been called. And he says markers of that walk of life would be humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So he's made it clear that Jews and Gentiles are no longer separated from each other. They've become part of the one body of Christ. And he again emphasizes that they need to be unified in that body. They need to be unified in purpose, and they need to work together within the body. So they need to bear with one another in love. Well, that also means that the Jew is going to recognize that the Gentiles have a few different traditions, and as long as those traditions are not sins, then they need to respect those things. And likewise, the Gentiles toward the Jews. As long as they can walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling, with this humility, gentleness, and patience, then they're able to bear with one another in love, and they can maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says there is one body and one Spirit. There's not a body for the Jews and a body for the Gentiles and then Jesus. No, it's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. There's no separate hopes either. There's only just one hope. And so he says in this, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, you're coming to the same call, to the same Lord, in the same faith. You participate in the same baptism. And then you have one God and Father of all. And he's over all and through all and in all. This idea that, well, I'm a Jew and you're a Gentile. Well, let's just throw those out and let's just be Christians. That might be the way I would explain that. So grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Just a quick point here with verse 7 when it says, according to the measure of Christ's gift. The word measure there really should be translated a full extent or the fullness. So I would say it would be better to look at it in terms of according to the fullness of Christ's gift. He's not saying that there's a different measure of the gift given to one versus another, but that the gift of eternal life is in its fullness in Christ. Now, verse 8 is a quote from Psalm 68. Psalm 68 is referring to the return of the Lord in victory to his people. It refers to the Lord's having received gifts, and in terms of conquering another people, the way the imagery here is, then that would be spoils, the spoils of war. And so receiving those spoils, and through his victories, he gives strength and power unto the people. You see that down in Psalm 68, verse 35. Well, what has God done through Jesus Christ? He has given victory over sin, the great adversary, sin and death itself. And so he has given the spoils of that, which I think we would take that as being eternal life. All he's really making reference to in verse 9 and 10, which seems a little confusing when you think about it, he's just talking about the ascension of Christ. And if we take it as the ascension of Christ, going back into heaven, like we see in the book of Acts, chapter 1, then we realize that there's also a descending in order for there to be an ascending. So he descended to the earth and then ascended back to him because he was eternal with God by nature. In John chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, "No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." So there's your ascending and descending that he's referring to, and then tying that in with the quote from the Psalms in Psalm 68. So he ascended back into that place in heaven. He's at the right hand of God, where he is above all things, and he is the fullness of all things. Then verse 11, he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So he didn't just provide the salvation, but he provides the strength and the talents that are needed for the body to work and for it to grow. So apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, you might be able to be a couple of those, but the point is that they all provide a work in the body, and so then they all were given the abilities by God himself. And all of this accomplishes the building up of the body of Christ. Then we'll attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There we are back to the measure and the fullness again. He says, once we've done this, once we've matured, then we'll no longer be children that are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Well, we've talked about the idea of false teachers and all the false concepts that Paul was trying to address so that people did not be swayed and pulled away from Christ. And here he is doing the same thing again. He says, you know, all this cunning and craftiness and deceit, you need to be immune to that. Or you need to mature so that these things don't affect you, don't pull you away anymore. And he says, instead of that, we should be speaking the truth in love and then grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We need to grow up in him rather than being carried away. And then in Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. For all fulfilling our role within the body, and we're all, going back to verse 1, walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, then the result is going to be unity. The result is going to be forbearance with one another. The result will be maturity. And the result will be that the body grows and builds itself up in love. With Christ as that head, with Christ as the Savior, with Christ as the groom. Thank you for listening today. We'll pick up the rest of Ephesians chapter 4 in our next reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.